Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Faith Focused Spanish Blog Show with your host, Faith Lane.
Great morning, everyone. We got a special guest on today. I'm going to be introducing him in a few minutes. I just want to welcome you to the Faith Focused Spanish Blog Talk Radio. If you're looking for any promotions, radio interviews, or radio spins, maybe you're an author or life coach, I'm actually doing some specials for this week. For the next week or so, I'm doing some specials where, I'll advertise for free for you since we're going through this crisis. So if you're interested in getting on the show, you can reach me at 240-640-5492. And then also you can email me at faithfocusedfinish@gmail.com. So if you're an author, life coach, maybe you have a business, you want to do advertisement, just reach out to me and I'll be glad to have you on the show. This is a global platform. We're people listening in from Uganda and Europe and Canada and Trinidad. And when I looked in that back office today, I was super excited. I was like, wow, we got a lot more countries in here. So I'm just super excited. You can also find Faith Focused Fitness Blog Talk Radio Show on the Entertainment Directory. You can find us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Pinterest. So I'm super excited to grow this thing, and I'm ready to blow it out the water. So anyway, I want to introduce Mr. Dr. Elliot Heflin, Jr. He's a computer technologist. He's into computer technology, reality tech. He specializes in robotics. So when I saw him on Facebook, I was like, that seems like an interesting guy right there. So I did inbox him and asked him a couple of questions. So I asked if he wouldn't mind coming and getting on the show. So I wanted to learn about what he do and how he helped families out and kids with learning about robotics. So I just want to welcome Mr. Dr. Elliot Heflin, Jr.
Okay, thank you, everyone. Thank you.
How are you
guys
today?
Tuning in? Go ahead. Oh, I'm excellent. And you?
I'm great. I won't dare complain. And if I did, it ain't going to help anyway.
You're right about that.
Well, just a little bit about Dr. Elliot. He holds an undergraduate degree in industrial technology and computer technology. He's from Jackson State University. He also has an MS degree in technology education, also from JSU. In addition, he holds a doctorate degree in educational leadership, educational technology, and a great certificate in engineer technology education. Woo, that was a tongue tie, Mr. Elliot. So tell us a little bit more about you that I didn't announce.
Yes, as you mentioned before, my name is Dr. Elliot Heflin, and I've been doing this technology thing for a while. I just really love being part of the future and being part of, I guess you can say, of children's lives. I love this.
No, I was going to ask, how did you get involved in technology and things like that?
Oh, okay. Well, it started years ago. I'm going to date myself a little bit. It started around, I can say, 1990, around my undergrad years. I was fascinated by technology. And what really grasped me about technology, grasped my attention, was Google Maps was just coming out. It was not released to the public yet. And I seen a professor of mine that was looking at a demo of Google Maps. Mind me, you guys, this is before you guys even knew what Google Maps was. And he was looking at it, and I asked him, what are you doing? And he explained to me that he was looking at the demo for Google, and then he wanted some feedback from me. And he showed me how the technology worked, and he actually pulled up my block. And I said, "Ooh, you can do that?" He said, "Yes, we can see anything, hear anything that we want to." I said, "I do not want to be left out the loop of technology." And it started from there.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay, okay. So you didn't start this until you was an adult.
Yes, I was an adult. No, this was not a kid fascination type thing. No.
Mm-hmm.
When kids say they want to grow up to be something, in actuality, I want to grow up to be a gemologist. That's a person who
mm-hmm.
makes jewelry. I want
mm-hmm.
to grow up to be a jeweler.
Okay. But it's crazy it's crazy that you say that, because a lot of times when we're growing up, we think we want to do one thing, and you end up something totally different than what the heck you were thinking about before. That's the same thing happened with me. Okay, you can finish up, sorry.
Oh, no problem. Yes, that's what led me towards technology. I just didn't want to be part of the loop. Be out of the loop. I guess you can say in so many words that I just want to be part of the future. I knew it was coming. Some people call it forward thinking.
Mm-hmm.
I knew it was coming. And I knew it was here to stay. And
mm-hmm.
I knew it wasn't going anywhere. That's what I mean.
It's funny that you mentioned about that Google map. I remember the first time somebody said, Google your address and see what happens. And it came up my house, and my work van was sitting in the driveway. That scared the mess out of me. I was like, oh, my God. So it's scary when you first see it, and you're like, wow. But then in the same sense, it's like amazing.
I was amazed by it. I'm glad I wasn't scared away from it.
Right.
I was
amazed. Yeah. Right. Wow, that's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought this was something that you thought about as a child. So how long were you in school for, in college for?
Well, I actually have 11 years of college.
Uh-huh.
So I joke with my doctors and tell my doctors if I knew I was going to spend 11 years, I might as well have went into medicine instead of education.
Right.
But I love what I do. So
right.
I've been around for a while.
Mm-hmm.
As far as college goes.
Well, what did you originally go to college for? Was it for technology and engineering?
Oh yes, it's been that way. My undergrad degree was begun as computer science.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, it's always been, like I said, leaning towards or geared towards technology. I knew technology
mm-hmm.
was going to be on the forefront someday. Even
mm-hmm.
people were screaming and hollering and, you know, whatever, trying to contest it, already knew that it was coming and there's nothing you could do about it.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow, that's pretty cool. Wow. Okay, so I see that you have started a couple of organizations. Was those organizations geared towards children to help some of the children to learn about robotics and engineering?
Yes. It was. I guess you can say why I was studying robotics and really
mm-hmm.
getting into robotics and getting into technology. I noticed a trend. And I noticed the trend of our community. When I say our community, I mean people who look like me. I've seen that they were not getting a true, I guess, a true take on what technology really has to offer, and the mm-hmm. level of STEM. STEM is science, technology, engineering, and math. The level mm-hmm. of STEM that they were getting was so minute, I was offended.
Wow. So talk about that. What was it that disturbed you about it then?
What disturbed me about it is, like I said, I just seen that we were getting, our community was getting, I guess you could say, a watered-down version
mm-hmm.
of STEM. Like the expectations were so low, and they still are low. I'm not going to sugarcoat it.
Right.
The expectations were so low, and I was saying, now I'm studying this material when I'm talking about the robotics. And
mm-hmm.
while I was studying robotics, I came across a six-year-old that was coding the robots that
wow.
I use. And
mm-hmm.
I said, now, hold on one moment. I said, here it is, this person from the other community is 6 years old doing this. Why are they not putting this technology in my community's hands?
Right.
So I invest in the robots on my own. And when I got them and started making an attempt to put those robots and put that information in children's hands that look like me.
Right. Wow. Okay. Well, you're right, because I'm sure that we get different things taught in our schools than they are in some of the suburban schools. So I'm sure it is a whole lot different. Wow.
Yeah.
So,
I wouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I wouldn't even go that far, because yes, they have a little bit of, I guess you can say, a head start on us because of, I guess, economic status or what have you. But this
mm-hmm.
is the point that I'm making. Even at the prominent so-called, you know, suburban schools or whatever, or well-to-do schools, to me being a person in technology and studying
mm-hmm.
technology, even they are at a minute level. I'm
right.
saying as a country, we have lowered the expectations so low that we don't believe our children. No, I'm going to take that back, because I believe they're smart enough to know that our children are capable of doing this technology. But
mm-hmm.
for some odd reason, they're not being exposed to upper level STEM.
Right.
What?
Right. No, I was just saying right. Yeah. Well, I mean, and you're right, because it's just about believing in yourself and knowing that you could do this and learn something new too. So yeah, sometimes it ain't just it's not just, you know, the school or an environment. Sometimes it's about us too being open to learn something new. So that was one of the things that kind of caught my attention when I saw your page. I thought, oh, this is interesting.
Yeah.
And so, but I'm the type of person, I want to learn new stuff all the time. So, yeah,
mm-hmm.
I thought that was pretty cool. That's one of the reasons why I reached out to you.
Yes, I appreciate you for that and giving me the opportunity to let people know exactly where I am coming from and what perspective I have on this. is, you know, when you're at the table and you really see what's going on, you get a different perspective of what it is. You understand what I mean? Is, you know, all the time you're thinking you're being catered to or you're being catered above a certain community, and then you find out even your highest community is pretty low.
Right.
In a global aspect, from a global standpoint, you realize that you're pretty low. And when and to me, and when I see other countries that we consider poor countries outdoing us in robotics, I question what is our motive.
Right. Well, I'm glad that you now let me ask you this right quick. Because in the African American community, do you have other people that surround you that's like, you know, brown skinned people like you in your community, or are you in that area that you live in, the state? Is it a lot of people, brown people there, or is it just all nationalities, or just a few?
It's all nationalities. You know, I'm from Atlanta, Georgia. So it's a mixed culture. There's a lot of blacks in the central city, in the urban city, as most U.S. cities. But I guess you can say it's a gamut of different cultures throughout Georgia.
I don't mean in Georgia. I'm talking about in your field of robotics.
Oh, in my field of robotics, no, it's you can basically count mostly every event that I ever went to, having people. I'm not saying the guests. I'm saying the participants. You know, the exhibitors or what have you. They're usually not my color.
Mm-hmm.
And that's saddening too. So
right. Well, I think that's
part of the expectations, or, you know, to make it blunt, putting your money where your mouth is. You say you want your children to be at a certain level, but your investment doesn't reflect that.
Right. And that was one of the reasons why I reached out to you, because I thought that was pretty interesting. I'm like, the first thing came to my mind was, I wonder if there's more people that's in his environment that's like that. So that's pretty cool, because now when it comes to the children and families, explain to me a little bit that what you do with them. Is it a teaching class, or are the kids just there to watch, or what is it that you guys do with your organization?
No, I pretty much, my organization, Reality Tech, I pretty much cover all areas. I do in-school field trips. That's, you know, like a demonstration. I come and demonstrate, and, you know, I'm always teaching them some type of way. And I hold camps, and through the camps is where I really dig into the technology. I give them the background of the technology, how to code, and I use the coding language that I use is Python, which is number 5 in the U.S. So I want to make sure that they are exposed to robotics closest to the real world as possible. That's why I use the technology that I use. I don't want them to have something abstract, saying, yes, I've seen something similar to this, and we did something similar to that, or whatever. Mm-hmm. But no, when they leave the school or leave the college, I want to have them equipped to say, yes, I know how to do that. I know how to do that. I've been there. I've done that. I had that class.
Mm-hmm. All right. Cool. So how? So what? So the thing that inspired you to do this was the GPS dump creating the Google Map thing.
Yeah, that's what started it off.
Right. Now, how long do when you build these robots, you actually build them yourself?
No, ma'am. What I do, the robots that I use is called the Now Robot, and it's spelled NAO. It comes preassembled, but here's the catch: when it comes to me, it's like I explain it, the analogy like this. It comes to me as a baby. It doesn't know how to do anything. It doesn't speak. It doesn't dance. It doesn't do anything but turn on. And that's what I have to do. I have to go in and code it in whichever language I choose. It does 7 different languages. I've chosen Python because Python is number 5. And I have to input all of these different codes, so to speak. Mm. And that's where the learning curve come in, is where I teach the children how to code the robot. Yes, a lot of them have been introduced to drag and drop programming languages in the U.S. school system. Yes, they have. But no one has went beyond that. No one has showed them the code that's actually behind the blocks that they're using.
Right.
And that's what I teach them, and that's what I do. I write the code that's behind the blocks.
Right.
So.
Wow.
Yes, ma'am.
That's amazing. That is truly amazing. Wow. That's truly amazing. I'm intrigued myself.
Go ahead.
I'm intrigued about it.
Yes. It's not difficult at all. I think of it in the terms like this. Programming language is just another language. Our children, I guess you can break it down all the way to a layman's term so people would understand it. I will break it all the way down. Your children has developed a language which they call texting.
Mm-hmm.
They use acronyms, AOL, laugh out loud. Okay, they use all these different acronyms, IJS, I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm.
Coding is no different. Once you learn what this series of characters do,
mm-hmm.
and you remember what they do and what they mean, it's no different. So how could you tell me that a child cannot learn this when I'm sitting up here seeing the child do it in a different form?
Right. Well, so. It's funny you say that, because in the field that I work in, I have came across this video. I work in financial services. And I talk to a lot of adults, and I found this video where this little girl talked about this thing called the Rule of 72, and she explained it to the T correctly on video. And I said to myself, if the kids can learn this, the adults can learn it. So I was very impressed with the little girl, and it was a little cute little black girl too. I thought that was so cute. But one of the things I learned, too, is sometimes the parents, the adults are scared to learn this new stuff. I don't know what they're afraid of, but they are. And so sometimes they follow the lead of the kid when the kid really supposed to be following the lead of the adult. So I think it's amazing when I see the little kids doing things like this. Like you mentioned, the kids know about coding and things like that. So that could kind of intrigue the parent to want to look into what it is that they're learning. So, I mean, I was very impressed. Yeah, I was very impressed with that. So, by me, and I don't have kids, but by me watching other kids being intrigued about things that adults should be intrigued about was amazing to me. So I would love to see to go to one of your programs and watch some of the kids interact and, you know, listen to some of the questions that they ask. Matter of fact, what are some of the questions they ask you in the classes, in the training classes?
You know, kids will be kids. They want to see you do fun and energetic type things. They want to see you dance and different things like that. And they wonder, how did I get him to do a certain dance? And I show them how I've accomplished this task by a timeline, and I explain the timeline to them, letting them know that it's no different than animation. The same movement in animation is the same movement that we're using in there. So we make a correlation, and I try to make it real world form so they understand that this is not something far-fetched that they have not seen already.
Right.
This is where this comes from, so to speak. And to interject on what you were saying about the adults and their fear, what people have to understand, children don't have that fear.
Right.
They don't have a fear of, what if this doesn't work? What if I'm not intelligent enough? As adults, we put that in their head. They don't come programmed like that. So what we have to do as educators and adults is watch that we do not cast our fears onto the children.
Right.
Because they're going to surpass you. They're supposed to.
Right. Right.
Okay. Mark on soapbox.
No, you're okay, but it's crazy because you do see some kids surpass their parents or adults, period. So,
yes,
but you're right, they don't have fear. Right. They don't have fear in them. Wow. And just thinking about, you know, when babies get ready to do something dangerous and we'll stop them. And you're right. They don't have fear because they don't know that, it's something really taught. Fear is taught to people.
Yeah.
And I always tell people, God did not create fear. Only man did. So you're right about that.
And that's what I think he means about that. I think that's what the Bible means about it. So you wasn't created in fear.
Mm-hmm.
So that's letting you know that. To me, I'm taking it as a baby is not created. Creation is from day one. We're not created in fear. So it comes from somewhere. And like I said, you know, as an adult, I work through minds, but I wish it was never placed there.
Exactly. You're right. So when you guys have these programs, these classes, what's some of the things that they're learning in the class besides coding?
They learn, I guess you could say, team building skills, learning how to collaborate and work together. And they learn, like you said, coding. They learn the different how sensors interact with the environment and what the different technology do. You know, I go through a gamut of different things. It's so much that they learn. Being my teaching style, I'm always, I guess you can say, going on my tangent. I always interject what life is about. Where do you stand on the bar or the totem pole of technology? How do people see you? So we have a lot of different things other than just coding. We have life lessons and different things, everything to make them a successful person to believe in themselves. I pretty much I guess you could say, tear down all those, I guess you can say, things that were said to you negatively before you enter my program, that you can't do this, this is hard. I abolish all of that. So mm-hmm. it's much more voting. It's much, and my program also, we also do drones too. We don't just do, yeah, we just don't do robots. We do drones also. And how it's structured, what I do is I have four different robots. I give them an opportunity to assemble a robot from scratch. I have a robot that has 167 pieces, and they put that together, and they code it and get it to move and get it to do different tasks that they want it to do. So now I have the child, I'm speaking from the child perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Now I have the knowledge to put a robot together and
okay.
to code it. And I usually
wow.
leave my now for, I usually leave my now for last. Now I'm going to introduce you to a humanoid robot, a robot
mm-hmm.
that looks like something that you used to see, you know, with arms, legs, torsos, and we're going to get into what makes him move, what makes him function. And it's similar to what we have already went over. Do you understand what
mm-hmm.
I'm doing? I'm building like a, I guess you can say, I'm building a skill level.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the camp or the end of the after school program, the person will be able to articulate that they know about a humanoid robot, how to make them move, how to interact with them, and basic programming, which is Python.
Mm-hmm.
So,
wow. Pretty impressive.
Yes.
So how long do it take you to make a robot?
Well, it depends. It depends on what they want to do. The robot that I have, the now
mm-hmm.
robot, that's I guess you can say you have to be a lifelong learner. That is technology that's ever growing. I learn
mm-hmm.
something new every day.
Mm-hmm.
Every day I learn something new. I said, man, this thing can do this. But when I bought the robot, they told me, you know, I thought it was a sales pitch or marketing ploy, whatever terminology you want to use. I thought they were just, it was a marketing ploy. And they were saying, the only limit to this robot is your imagination.
Right.
I found out, true statement.
Wow.
So now everything
wow.
that I do, everything that I do, every day I'm learning something new.
Right.
Learning something new. And it's like, and the program that they leave out with, I give them the software, so they're going to have the software on their computer. So now
mm-hmm.
they have a virtual robot because the robot, the actual physical robot, is very costly.
Mm-hmm.
So, but they have a virtual robot. Now they can do the same thing that I do. They
mm-hmm.
can use their imagination and switch around code and see what this does and see what that does. They can play with it now. You understand what I mean?
Right.
I don't mean play. They can learn further with it. You know, the
right.
program doesn't end when we end. It
right.
ends when they decide not to go back to their computer.
Right.
Well, but this is a lifelong
people are always on their computers and things, so.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
That's pretty amazing.
But we can't get fooled about that either. You know, as I mentioned to you before, I've written a book on that subject. You know, we kind of we assume because we see our children in front of a computer and having a computer in their hand that they are very knowledgeable about technology. No, they're not. So you have to be, don't hurry up and jump to that conclusion. You know, yes, some of them are very versed in technology, depending on what you want to do. But when you're talking about going to the, when you're talking about going to the level that I'm talking about going, the majority of my clueless.
Right. It's like we got to reprogram them.
Oh, you have to. You have to. It's like, you know, someone's been telling you your whole life, this is the best. You are the best. This is the top technology. We're the leading school. You know, all these different, I guess you could say all these different accolades. We're the leading school. And then you find out in reality, leading what? You understand what I mean?
Right.
You find out in reality that you are not leading anything. Through your whole life, you thought you were a powerhouse.
Right. Right. It's funny you say that because I find a lot of people like that.
Yes.
Hold on, Mr. Elliott. We have some callers on the line. Let me see if the callers have any questions they want to ask.
Okay.
Great morning, callers. We have callers from 314 area, 678 area, 716, and 201 area code. Do you guys have any questions
for
Mr. Elliott?
I would like to share some information too, Mr. Elliott.
Yes, sir.
You know, I like him. I used to build robots too. Coming out of the 70s. And you know the difference now, then, we had access to surplus electronics, transistors, ICs, diodes, capacitors, and other components. I built a robot for my little girl that included, it was like a RTD2, it included infrared detectors, and also sonar, where it could run around the floor without running into anything. It would wake her up in the morning, work with her on her ABCs and how to count, and when it felt that its batteries was getting low, which at that time were jail cells, it would seek out its charging station, run to it, turn around, back up, and plug itself in.
Yes.
But the thing that I'm talking about is that what we had access to in order to put our hands on. I was breadboarding. We were soldering. And, you know, things like that. I was a ham radio operator. Still am. I built my own equipment. I had a computerized 1968 Dodge Maxi van during the time when they was customizing vans. I took out all the electronics in that van and built my own. I could open the doors by saying, open sesame. You remember those old Motorola type of pagers, the big one that was toned, that had to read them? I built a burglar alarm system out of them that if somebody came close to the vehicle, it would send me a tone. If somebody shook the vehicle, it would send a tone. And if somebody opened the door, it would send a different tone. I had a 5-watt transmitter with it. So these things, see, and the thing that I complain about with African American society is that they don't provide their child with the necessary things that's out there already, but they're not exposed to them. And that is a tragedy. Yeah. Now, you look at China, sir, and I think you know, Chinese kids have access to all that surplus electronics.
Mm-hmm.
And billing kits.
Yes.
So, and you know, I'm one of the most things. Matter of fact, I built a color TV too. That when I first turned it on, I used a real long stick because I thought it was going to blow up, and I stood back. But the thing that we have today is these drones. Look at the technology that's in a drone. And you remember one of the last launches that SpaceX made where they recovered a rocket, the booster rocket, and it comes back down and lands on a platform somewhere near where it took off. It has a homing technology in it. That there is tremendous when I seen that. So I could go on and talk about these things. It's hard to find people nowadays that can talk on those levels. And I say one other thing that African Americans do have, they have the National Society of Black Engineers that do a very good job in preparing young black students for the STEM fields. And they're doing pretty good at that, but nowhere near enough.
Right. I actually saw a lady the other day. I posted actually on my Facebook page a black lady that's hitting the vaccine for the coronavirus. So, yeah, we got some out there, but it's very few and beyond.
Well, we have to do what we need to do to make them. And I know how lonely you feel, Mr. Elliott.
Yeah.
I do, too. It's kind of like Lassie Come Home. You find somebody who can talk on the same level in these areas.
But yes, I'm glad that you touched on that. And that's what I want to do. I want to lead by example. Everything that I do in the programs that I develop is from my own personal funds. I did not wait on a government grant. I didn't wait on, I guess, the new term that they have now. I wouldn't say new term. It's about a year or two old. I'm not waiting on Superman to come save our community. So,
well, I agree with you.
Yeah, instead of me buying, you know, I hate to go there, but instead of me buying all these different things that's supposed to be a status symbol or something like that, I decided to invest in my community with technology and teach them about things that they won't be left behind.
You're absolutely right. Now, another thing that kind of has walked away, because when I was doing this, computers were not as advanced as they are today. We had the Commodore 64. You had the Radio Shack trash, and IBM had a little mainframe. So they weren't. And when I had a 40 megabyte hard drive, external hard drive, I thought I was king of the hill. But look what they got now in flash drive. So if we had that back at that point in time, you know, at a consumer level, ain't no telling where we'd be at today. And I had a trip computer that would read miles per gallon, estimated time of arrival, and I had sensors that would light up LEDs on my dash that would tell me I was low on fuel, my windshield washer bottle was low, the temperature of my all those things.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's something else where we are today, but we have to get our children. And I'm not saying this to be separate or anything, but black society has a whole lot more potential to offer to the good of humankind that is not being tapped into the way it should, especially here in the United States where we have so much at our avail, so much at our avail.
Yes. Yes. And like I said, it just takes people like you and I to get it out there, you know, to invest our time and mention it to the children and let them know what their capabilities are. And what I like people to see me. That's why I make the different appearances, and I want people to see this is a young black male. I don't try to talk over their head. I try to keep it as lame as possible and let them know. And I want them to walk away with, man, if he can do this, I can do that.
You know, I taught myself how to fly. You know, the Atari had Jumbo Jet Flyer as a computer game. Mm-hmm. The only thing was bad about it was in real time. If you got within a half hour of landing, you crash, you had to start all over again. It's about 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
But the technology they have today with RC controls planes, I'm trying to get my grandson involved in flying. You know, he's an engineering student at LSU. But that's another point. You have to start directing your kids into these hard majors, not this weak stuff, and these hard majors. And they have to be prepared, starting off in these elementary grades. You know, simple as buying workbooks. If your child is at the third grade, buy workbooks that include math, that include word problems, and include science. Have your child do 100 problems every night. 100 math problems in progress as they go up in their grades. Algebra, multiplication, whatever it is, 100. And you will be surprised that how they master the language of math can be projected on into others. Teach them to read and teach them to do essays where they put their thoughts on paper. And you'll be surprised the difference that makes.
Oh, yeah. I'm very aware of their talents.
Yes. So I'm not going to hold your program up so you can get to those other callers. I really appreciate all that you've done and all that you yet to do. I know you're going to do. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you so much. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool to hear some other people out there that they actually listened to, so that's awesome.
Yes. Yeah.
So I know we don't have a lot of time left. We got about 10 minutes left, and I want to kind of touch bases on your program. You got a I know one of your programs is called CAPS.
Yes.
Can you touch a little bit on that?
Yes, I will. CAPS is not really – it's not a, my program. It's designed for low-income families. What they have done in Georgia, they have I guess you can say, made a way for low-income families to still participate in camps, daycares, what have you. So if you don't have the money, if you don't have the money, you're able to, I guess, sign up for some type of voucher. And the voucher will go to the agency that you want to participate in. But I'm pretty sure you have to meet some type of income level. But the reason I went towards CAPS, like I said, I don't want to leave anyone behind. So now I've developed something. I developed a program that, in so many words, the adults, the parents, they don't have an excuse. Okay?
Right.
I'm taking the responsibility of having the technology that the students are going to use. I've implemented a program where you can go get a voucher that'll cover the tuition.
Right.
So you don't have an excuse.
Right.
So that's what I want to do. I'm pretty sure a lot of people are not aware of CAPS. And CAPS stands for Child Care and Parent Services. So I'm pretty sure if you get in touch with me and I put you on the road to CAPS, I'm pretty sure you will find out some more things that you probably can use CAPS for in different areas. That's what CAPS is.
Right.
So I want to remove those barriers, and I think I have removed those barriers.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you introducing it to some of the people because, like you said, some people don't know about it. So I think that's awesome. I think that's pretty awesome. I know when we had our phone interview, I know one of the things I was mentioning because they were in the process of talking about locking people, you know, locking everybody down because of the virus. And we talked about, I had asked you, did you have a virtual that you could kind of, you know, educate people through that way? Did you create that yet, or are you still working on it?
Yes, what I'm doing, I'm in the process right now of creating the virtual. I want to create the virtual way before the coronavirus, because the reason I wanted to create it, because I realized that I'm in one area, and people say, for instance, people like in Germany or Europe or whatever, I see my program, and I know the program is fascinating, and I know it's above the majority of people's program. I know it's above that. So I want to give them the same access. So I'm creating a virtual platform as we speak.
That's excellent. Excellent. Wow.
And
so
creating that program. I'm creating that program for the ages of 8 to 17. It really doesn't matter. What I really want you to, the only thing you have to do for me is know how to read and comprehend. I will handle the rest. I believe I am an awesome educator. I can break it down to the simplest term if I have to.
Right.
So I don't put a limit on, okay, when my kids too young, they can't do Python. You'll never hear that come out of my mouth.
Right.
Because I don't believe it's true. And then, like I said, the youngest person I ever seen do this was 6.
Wow.
So once once I allow the parents to give me the, I guess, the go-ahead to pull all these different blinders they place on their children. I'm not saying them personally, that society has placed on those children and snatched those limitations off, the sky's the limit.
Right, exactly. I like how you guys teach them about building and collaborating and building relationships and things like that too, because that'll help them for the future, because the future is not going to be about jobs. It's going to be about business. It's going to be about robots. It's going to be about a lot of different things. Just like we didn't think that we would get to the point that we would walk around with a cell phone all around, anywhere you go. So just watching everything evolve is just beautiful to watch. I can't wait to see what's in for the future.
and maybe one day
I can say I had this guy on my radio station. He was one of the inventors of these things.
Yes. It's I really want them to be part of the process.
Right.
You know, I don't want them to be left behind, so to speak. You know, I'm really, you know, you're really going to be passionate about the people who look like you. You're going to be passionate about those. But I'm passionate about everyone who is meant to be left out the loop. That's just me and my thinking. I think that certain people or certain things want you to be at a certain level of intelligence.
Right.
I think we are free. I know we are free to a certain extent. And I want to help you explore that freedom. You know, it's like I tell children, it feels good when you're in a position that you're making income that you don't have to worry about certain things that people worry about. People, how I'm gonna pay my mortgage, how I'm gonna do that. You know, like the situation we're in now.
Right.
I don't worry about those things.
Right. We got a few minutes left, and we got a caller just jumped on, but we only got 3 minutes left for the show. But I do want to say that I used to post on my page that if we could teach a million of our kids what we taught them, that go to school, get good grades, go to college, and if that thing didn't work for most people to be financially independent, why can't we teach a million of our kids to be a business owner, teach them how to be a true investor so that they won't go through the stuff that we're going through now? And that's why I love the mission that I'm on as far as financial education. We have 3 minutes left. Do the caller that just came in, 393, do you have a question you want to ask right quick? We have 3 minutes left of the show.
Yes. Hey. Can you
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Can you hear me? Hey, how you doing? My name is Randy Perm. I'm out here in Naples, Italy, and I was having some technical issue with the show. But I just had a quick question for Dr. Heflin here. What are some of the challenges that you're facing with getting robotics education into some of the local schools that you're in the area that you're in?
The biggest challenge I have is that they're fearful. And what I mean by fearful, I don't know if it's if they think that they're going to be showed up, and so to speak, which they are. Because I believe in giving people what they're paying for. I believe on giving you, if I say this is the best technology out here, it's going to be the best technology out here. So I think it's people. I really do. And a lot of people say it's budget, but as we see from this crisis, budget is not a problem.
Right.
It's
correct.
What you decide to spend your money on.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, I appreciate that.
Wow.
I appreciate it. So, sir. I'm out here in Italy.
Okay, thank you.
Yep. No problem, absolutely.
Well,
y'all take it easy.
Well, I appreciate you guys getting on. And I appreciate you, Mr. Dr. Elliot Heflin, and I'll get ready to end. If we got one more minute, do you have enough time to shout out how somebody could get in contact with you before they cut us off?
Yes. If you guys want to get in contact with me, you can find me on Facebook under Elliot Heflin. And the name of my company is Reality Tech. I have a business page which is called Reality Tech on Facebook also. And on Instagram, it's called Ed Tech Network. You can find me that way. And just to be, I'm not against this, I will give you, get a pen and paper real quick, 678-508-1573. Again, that's 678-508-1573. And you can call me directly. That's my cell. I don't have any problems with you calling regarding anything that has to do with the program.
Well, thank
and
you,
I
Mr.
do have
Elliott.
Okay. If I can shoot this in real quick, I do have a website, which is educationaltechnologynetwork.com. Educationaltechnologynetwork.com. All one word. Thank you.
Well, I appreciate you, Mr. Dr. Elliott. And it just closed the show down, and I appreciate you getting on. And, looking forward to having you on my show again.
Okay, no problem.
Well, you have a great day, Mr. Elliot.
Yes.
All right, take care.
Thank you again.